way. Amen? And so that's how you get to an evangelist's heart, is through Chick-fil-A, and so we had that for lunch. We also, me and the boys also had the opportunity to go to the trampoline park, and do you think I jumped or not? What do you think? Of course, I'm still only 41, right? So I jumped, and thankfully I'm still in one piece, amen? And I'm okay. My hip hurts a little bit, but that always hurts, and my boys are still okay, so we're fine. It was fun to be able to hang out with the teens and get to see them away from the chapel time. And so we have had a great time in chapel. I do appreciate their receptiveness, if that's a word. And I've asked for a show of hands, and if God has been speaking to them, and so many have raised their hand. And so they're very sensitive, and I appreciate that. They're listening very well. And so you continue to pray the next couple days. Tomorrow I'm doing just two random topics. Today we talked a lot about coming to the Lord as an invitation, return to the Lord. Even as I mentioned on Sunday, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And interesting thing about that, just to give you a tidbit of what I talked about that really impacted me as I was studying again this morning, is that in that passage where when God says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, they say, and for any teenagers in here, just to, you know, act like you've never heard this before, but they say that if you take any kind of color, any kind of dye, and you put it, any kind of material, and you soak it in that material, you can always get that out, except for scarlet red. Even if you let it sit there and it gets into that clothing or whatever, and you take that clothing and spread it out and you scrub it until you're actually taking some thread off that material, it will never come out. And what a wonderful truth that God says, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as wool. They'll go back to their original, it's like they were never there. So anyways, I know as a teenager, could be teens that there is a sin in their life that they don't think will ever be forgiven. But praise God, it can through the blood of Christ. And so it's something that we've talked about yesterday and today. So tomorrow we're probably going to touch on a little bit of bitterness and the victory in Christ that we have because of Romans, and then go on from there. So continue to pray for us. I appreciate that. Thank you again, Pastor and his family. And Hannah set up some volleyball for us on whatever night that was, Monday night. We had a good time there. Are we competitive as a Washer family? Yes, we are. All right. And sorry for those we beat at cornhole. So, we're just competitive. I need to mention we did win cornhole. I try to preach on humility. You know, and John said, he must increase, I must decrease. But when it comes to cornhole, that doesn't. It's not the same thing. Okay, it's not the same thing, but we won. All right? And so thank you again for your hospitality. We've loved being here. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 tonight. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And here's what I want to focus on. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that willeth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Father, thank you so much tonight for the word of God. Lord, I am not preaching my opinion tonight. I'm not trying to preach some random thought that we can kind of grab onto. Lord, I want to preach your word. And Lord, I did preach a lot on Sunday, a lot of encouragement, reminders of truth that we need to learn. Lord, we also need to know this truth tonight. It may be something that we need to bolster our strength and our resolve to continue serving you. And perhaps you would use this message to convict somebody here that needs to hear it. And so, Lord, I pray that as you often do, that you would work in a powerful way as I preach, your word. It's a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces, you said. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, Lord, I simply want to throw it out there, give it out there, and allow your Holy Spirit to do a mighty work. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, again, as I mentioned in my prayer on Sunday, if you're here on Sunday, I did preach a lot of encouragement. But tonight, I'm going to let you have it. No, not really. Perhaps it's an encouragement for those who need encouragement, but it could be a conviction for those, a reminder for those tonight. I know that a Wednesday night crowd, perhaps you just need to be reminded of these truths. Pastor, do you know what an MRE is? Did you eat a lot of MREs? No. Submarine guy. So what did you eat? Fresh baked goods and ice cream. I think I know where I would go if I was. Is that a running joke then? Because, you know, you get all the good food and.
Well, you can't eat, you know, fresh food after
about 2 weeks. But you always have fresh baked goods. Okay, hold on a second. I wasn't planning on this, but I got to dig deeper. How do you have ice cream all the time? In a submarine. Wow. Okay. I wasn't planning on going down that trail, but I'm jealous. I don't even get 24/7 ice cream in my RV. What's wrong with that? Well, you talk to my wife. Okay, so an MRE, you do know what an MRE is, though, okay? And you didn't have to do that. Basically, it stands for a meal ready to eat. Okay, anybody in here in the military service enjoyed MREs? Anybody in here? Wow, so pastor's the only person that's eating ice cream. Okay, so a meal ready to eat, basically you know that these are for the military. All right? Here's what an MRE is, what involves basically is a meal that you can cook basically anywhere. Okay, if you're in Iraq, you're in the middle of the desert, you should be able to eat, right? And so sometimes here's what they involve, okay? Chili with beans, Mexican-style corn, crackers, jam, a dairy shake, all right, candy, red pepper, a spoon, and then a flameless heater, all right, so to be able to cook your food, so meal ready to eat. Now, you talk to anybody that's in military service, and you give them a choice between an MRE and, I mean, even McDonald's. They're going to probably choose McDonald's, all right? They don't want an MRE. And so I actually was a part of a military service. I've only been to a military service, I think, one time. I was with my brother. And it was during when he was at Bob Jones, and so I think he would go down to Columbia, I think it was, and he would be involved in military service, and so all these people in the military there, so they're singing, they're singing loud, and perhaps you know this song, right? Soon and very soon, we are going to see the king. Anybody know that song? Soon and very soon, we are going to see the king. Well, I'll never forget when I'm standing there, all these guys, these ladies are singing out as loud as they can. But they changed that song. And instead of soon and very soon, we are going to see the king, they said, soon and very soon, we are going to Burger King. Soon and very soon. I don't see how, it's not very spiritual, okay? It's not very spiritual. But I can understand why they were saying that. Because they are tired of eating what they've been eating, right? And they want to go to Burger King. So it really made an impact on me. Because I realize, and I have to be honest with you, whenever I see somebody in the military, you can ask my kids. Anytime I see somebody in the military, my heart is immediately drawn to them to say thank you. I want to do whatever I can. They would probably tell you to a point that it's almost annoying that I go up to them and say thank you, thank you. Why? Because of all that they deny in service to our country, right? Now, obviously, 2 Timothy is written from Paul to Timothy, his young preacher boy in the faith. But I don't think we can just simply take 2 Timothy and say, well, that was written to Timothy, a preacher boy, and that doesn't really apply to us, so let's just go to another passage. I don't think we could do that. Okay, there are parts where we could say, that's for me. That's for me. Now, will you be preaching? Not necessarily. But I think this passage is for everybody. It's for everybody. It says this, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. no man that lieth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So when Paul begins to talk about being a soldier, I think he would understand what it was like to be a soldier, right? At some point, you know, before he died, he was ambushed in a cold dungeon, chained like a common criminal, right? At first, he was in a nice rented house when he was in prison. Then eventually, he was in a dungeon. And so he was, you know, often face to face with those soldiers. And he knew. He knew about their life. And so he says to his young protege here, listen, Timothy, if you're going to serve God, you've got to be like these soldiers. You've got to endure hardness. And we're going to look at it. And so he says, you have to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. And we sing, right? We sing songs about being a soldier for Jesus Christ. Who's going to stand up and go forth for him? And so being a soldier for Jesus Christ, number one, a soldier realizes the danger and the difficulty. A soldier of Jesus Christ realizes the danger and the difficulty. By the way, God has not called everyone to be a full-time missionary, preacher, whatever, but he has called everyone to be a full-time soldier. In whatever line of work that you're in or whatever service you are to the King of Kings, you are a soldier of the King of Kings. And so a soldier realizes the danger and the difficulty. Look with me at verse 3. He says, thou therefore endure hardness. In other words, undergo hardship, endure afflictions. Sometimes, I have to confess to you, sometimes it's so easy for me as a servant of Jesus Christ to forget that I'm a soldier. And I don't know about you, but I want things to be easy. I don't want to go through endure afflictions, endure hardships. I want the Christian life to be easy. And don't we naturally try to just push aside everything that makes it hard, right? It's just natural for us. If that's going to make it hard, I don't want it. If that's going to make it hard, God, I don't want this trial. I don't want this. And we try to make the Christian life so easy. And anything that comes along that's difficult, oh, we want to run from that. Now, not that we're going to, you know, go and put ourselves in all sorts of positions to where we're like, yes, I'm going to beat myself and I'm going to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. That's not the same. That's not it either. But the matter of fact, we just have to be reminded perhaps tonight that serving Jesus is not always easy. That's just a simple truth. It's not always easy. When Paul's talking about these soldiers, basically what they would do is they'd go through a training period of about 4 months. Each soldier, during training, they'd march 18 miles in 5 hours, 21.7 miles in 5 hours with faster steps. Somehow, obviously, historians were able to get this information. They'd put on 45 pounds on their back and had to, you know, to walk this. We're talking about Roman soldiers, all right? Now, one of the worst things about these Roman soldiers is there was a punishment that was enforced. It was an awful punishment. So basically, if there was any kind of insubordination, any kind of cowardice or murderous intent on fellow soldiers, any kind of espionage activities or desertion, here's what they would do. It was called the decimatio, I think is how you say it. And basically, they would choose every tenth man from around 480 men, and they would just put them to death. So every tenth man out of 480, they would put them to death. Now, what was the point of that? Learn your lesson. You're not going to desert. You're not going to turn on us. Insubordination. No, sir. That's not going to happen here. And so that was one of the worst things about being in the Roman soldier. Okay, I wouldn't say that's easy either. That's not easy. After long days of march, Roman soldiers had to build a camp complete with a ditch and a wall of wooden stakes. And the next day, they had to do it all over again. Now, I'm talking about Roman soldiers here because that's what Paul is talking about. But if you want to talk about soldiers in broad, I mean, you could talk about our American soldiers, right? And the things they've got to go through on a regular basis. How many have a close family member that's in the military right now? Okay, you understand that. The things that they have to go through, sometimes they don't even want to talk about it because they're simply soldiers. Now, for you parents out here, can I remind you that, yes, God has called us to be soldiers, but he's also called your children to be soldiers. You see, sometimes parents can get to the place when they are so protective of their children that they would not dare allow God to, they wouldn't even allow God to even think about calling them to be missionaries. No, God, you can't do that. No, they're going to be separated from me. They're going to face a hardship here. They're not going to have a lot of living space where they go. We're going to be hundreds of miles apart, and yes, that's hard. But can I tell you something? To be a soldier of Jesus Christ is what God has called them to do, and it may be hard on you also. And you've probably heard of parents that have kept their children so close. Listen, parents, let them go for Jesus Christ because he's worthy of it. You know, parents don't hesitate to drop their kids off at the Army base or whatever. They're not worried about them if they put them in the Army, okay? Maybe in some ways. Listen, when we give our children up to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there's nothing that we should be worried about. There's nothing we should be worried about. You say, well, it is difficult. It's difficult. Well, let's ask the one who wrote this what he thinks about being a soldier. Have you ever looked at the pros and cons for Paul being a soldier of Jesus Christ? Let me give you a few negatives for him to be a soldier, okay? He wrote about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent. That's me too. In prisons more frequent? Okay. In deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 5 times. He was beat 39 times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in hunger and thirst and fasting, cold and nakedness. And we read all this about Paul, and I'm trying to be as kind as I can, but still give you the Word of God. And we have one thing go wrong, and we say, oh, I'm just such a tough soldier of Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about myself, too. Be a soldier. Paul was a soldier. Paul was a soldier. Well, what are the pros? What are the pros? I mean, what's the benefit of serving Jesus Christ and being a soldier of his? He says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And here's what also he says, but none of these things move me, neither count on my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's why he's doing it. So he could finish. I've preached a message here before, talk about finishing. Finishing strong, finishing well. I think the last time I was here, when God says, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I want. And sometimes between me and that phrase is some difficulties. And I endure them for his sake, but also for the elect's sake, to be able to give others the gospel. You know, David Livingston, that famous missionary, Africa. I mean, if you know, you're familiar with all of the things that he went through. I mean, a lion attacked him. All the jungle type scenarios that he was in. It's very funny what he actually said. He said this, quote, it is not all pleasure, this exploration. Well, you wouldn't say, David Livingston. It's not all pleasure. He said this, O Lord, since thou hast died to give thyself for me, no sacrifice could be too great for me to make for thee. So, in this passage, not only does a soldier realize his danger, the danger, you've got to endure hardness. Number two, a soldier removes himself from distractions. A soldier removes himself from distractions, or you could say this way, a soldier is ready for deployment. A soldier is ready for deployment. Now, where do I get that? Look at verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. The word entangleth gives us the idea of inweave. Or this life, meaning to civil life. So I've never been a part of a life like this where, you know, we meet people many times where we say, you know, where are you guys from? And they just kind of laugh. You ever met somebody like that? Where are you from? Because they're military family, and they've been to Arizona, and they've been to Hawaii, and they've been here, and they've been there, and they're always ready to go to drop of a hat. They're always going somewhere. They have to be ready for that. Here's the thing. When Paul says you can't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life, basically means this, that we get so comfortable, we get so interwoven with the affairs of this life, that even if God were to come to us and ask us to pull up our tent stakes and go somewhere else or do something different. We are so entangled with the affairs of this life that it wouldn't be possible. We're too comfortable. We're not being a good soldier because we're not ready for deployment. We're not ready to go at a moment's notice. Roman soldiers actually signed up for about 25 years of service. If they survived, that's key words, if they survived their time, they were rewarded with a gift of land they could farm. We've all seen American soldiers leaving their family. Boy, I wish we as a country would treat them even better. Anyways, that's a little side note. But they're leaving behind everything to serve a country. Would you be willing to do whatever it takes to serve Christ and not weave so deeply ingrained in your life all the comforts of this world? And when He calls, you can't leave. Weave my life into anything of this world that keeps me from doing anything for that world above. What do you mean? Well, let's just look at Matthew 6:19. You don't have to turn there, but it says, you're familiar with it. It says this: lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Anyone ever had something stolen from them? I have several times, a couple times. In fact, my truck was actually stolen. I went on a mission trip to Honduras with a friend of mine. We parked at a hotel in Atlanta, which is a bad idea, I learned from the police officer later. And so we parked there. And you know what the strangest feeling is when you come back to your vehicle and it's gone. It's a very eerie feeling. So we walked to the hotel, and I just looked at the parking spot where my truck was. And I thought, maybe I moved it. Maybe someone came and got it or something. I just don't know. It was stolen. We never got it back. All right? And in the words of the officer, she said this: you parked your car here for 2 weeks? I wouldn't do that next time. Okay, so I don't know. It's Atlanta. I'm sorry, I don't know. I've had my bike stolen. I've had my computer stolen. Things like that, they can just disappear like this. It's stuff. And we get so enamored with stuff and things and belongings and houses. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Basically, a treasure on earth is anything that doesn't go past this life. A treasure on earth is anything that doesn't go past this life. In other words, one commentator said this: in other words, don't stockpile. The idea of the word treasure is to stash something somewhere. The quality of this word literally conveys the idea of placing something horizontally instead of living vertically where my thoughts are heavenward. And can I live without this thing to be able to serve God at a moment's notice or do whatever He's called me to do or to give this up or to go that direction? But instead, to live horizontally, where we're always thinking about laying up here on this earth. That's what that means. You know what Jim Elliot said, that famous missionary that died trying to tell the Awk Indians about the gospel. He says what? He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I think that would be a good encapsulation of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6:21 says this: for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that is where the problem is. Where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. And so our heart may not be on heavenward things. Our treasure, our heart is on these things. One day there was a farmer, and he told his wife with great joy that their best cow had given birth to two calves. One red and one white. And he said, you know, I've been led of the Lord to dedicate one of the calves to Him. I'm going to give it to Him. We're going to raise them together, and then when the time comes to sell them, we're going to keep the proceeds that come from one calf, and we'll give the proceeds that come from the other to the Lord's work. His wife asked which calf he was going to dedicate to the Lord, but he answered, oh, there's no need to decide that right now. We'll treat them both in the same way. When the time comes, we will sell them, you know, just like I said. Well, several months later, the man entered the kitchen looking very sad and miserable, and he said, I have bad news for you. The Lord's calf died. His wife said, wait, I thought you had not decided which was to be the Lord's calf. Oh, yes, I had always determined that it was to be the white one, and the white one is the one that died. Okay, simple story to declare that this man's vision, his treasure, was not where it was supposed to be. It was on earthly things. You know, God is either served with total commitment or really, not really served at all. You see, what we do is I'm serving God, but are you serving Him with total, absolute commitment with everything? I mean, you think about people like the Marines and the Navy SEALs. What do? They break you first to make sure that you're totally committed. I know a guy on Facebook, old friend of mine. He was one of the Strattons. Perhaps you know the Strattons. And he went into military service. And he posted one day on Facebook many years ago. He says, when most people find out I was in the Marines, one of the first questions they ask is, did you ever have to go overseas? And he always replies, no, I never got to. He explained the difference is this. They think it's something forced on you. What they don't understand is that the majority of us want to go. He says, I planned the whole time. I trained and ready, and I had this toolbox ready to go. And deep inside of most men, there's a warrior begging to be tested. And he says, I never got to do it. What a mentality. I never got to go. My question for us is, well, we got to do this for God. We got to do this. We have to go here. We've got to do this. No, you get to. You get to serve the King of Kings. You get to. Remember Demas? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. One man said this, where riches hold dominion of the earth, God has lost His authority. Then Livingston said, I will place no value in anything I have or may possess except in relation to the kingdom of Christ. I only have one life, and that will soon be passed. I want my life to count for Christ. What's done for Him will last. Finally, does a soldier, number one, realize the danger? And number two, he removes himself from distractions, the things of this world, interweaving his life with this world. Number three, he rejoices in his duty. He rejoices in his duty. Look with me at verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, there's a couple motives as to Paul being a soldier of Jesus Christ. Obviously, his first one in this passage says, so that he may please him. May please him. Now, there are a lot of different motives for us to serve the Lord. Really, there are. I mean, you start naming a lot of motives. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. That's a huge motive. I told the teenagers that when I was 18, I was just kind of wishy-washy. I was with a good crowd. I was with the bad crowd. I was at a Christian school. I was just all over the place. And then I began to understand the depth of the cross, what Jesus did on the cross for me. And that began to change my life. That was a motivation. There's motivations about earning rewards. I think that's okay. We want crowns in heaven. We want to lay our crowns back at the feet of Jesus. That's okay too. That's a good motive. All right. We want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and know that it's not our wood, hay, and stubble. We want to give everything we have and let it survive that fire. Yes, that's a great motivation. But here's another motivation. I just want to please Jesus. I just want to please Jesus. Some people have kind of shied away from that. Like, we don't, and we understand that I'm not serving Jesus to somehow please Him enough to where my good works outweigh my bad works so that I can go to heaven and Jesus smiles down on me and everything is good. That's not the motivation here, is this. I just want to please Him because He loved me. I want to do what's right because He continues to love me. I want to please Him. And Paul says that when he's doing this, he's being a soldier because he wants to please Him. Why? Because He did so much for us. It is said that Cyrus, he was the founder of the Persian Empire. He captured a prince and that prince's family. And when they came before him, Silas asked the prisoner, "What will you give me if I release you?" He said, "I'll give you half of my wealth." "But what will you give me," Silas asked, "if I release your children?" The prisoner said, "Everything I possess." And finally he asked him, "What if I release your wife?" He said, "Your Majesty, I will give myself." Cyrus was so moved by this man's devotion that he freed the whole family. So as they returned home, the prince turned to his wife and said, "Wasn't Cyrus a handsome man?" With a look of deep love for her husband, she said to him, I didn't notice. I could only keep my eyes on you, the one who was willing to give himself for me." Oh, ladies and gentlemen, our God is so good. And our eyes should only be on Him, the one who is willing to give His life for us. That is a motivation. To give it all up. There was a chaplain that was ministering to a soldier in a hospital, and he said, "Oh, you've lost an arm in the great cause." He said, "No, I didn't lose it. I gave it." There's a difference. Again, let me remind you about my friend who said, "I didn't have to go, I get to go." Listen, there's no such thing as radical service, only reasonable service. Only reasonable service. This is what I talked about with the teenagers. I'm getting more confused. It was yesterday or today, I don't know. But it's reasonable. It just makes sense for us to give our lives back to the Lord. Is it going to be hard? Yes, it's going to be difficult. Am I here tonight to preach to you, to remind you that there may be something going on in your life even now where you want to say, "God, it's just too much for me. It's too much for you to call my children here, for us to be here as a family and to give this much and to do this much for you and to go, and God, we can't do it." God says, "You don't have to give it. You don't have to. It's not a requirement. You get to give it to me. You get to give it to me. It's simply reasonable service." There's another reason, I think, why Paul, and it's not in this passage, why he would say that he was a soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. He says this, "Therefore I endure all things, for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Okay, so this is not a huge, this wouldn't be like one of the primary motivations, but I think it is also one. I think it's this, that as we continue to serve as a soldier of Jesus Christ, the longer we are faithful, the longer we are pursuing our God, the more opportunities, the more people that we perhaps can meet that we can tell the gospel to. We can give the gospel. Several years ago, I preached the message here about Paul and Silas in the jail. Remember when they're singing? And there's an earthquake. They could have left, but they didn't leave. And the man came in and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And my whole emphasis in that message was this, that Paul and Silas, of anybody at that time, they should have been the ones having a pity party. I mean, they just got, their feet are fast in the stocks. I've never been in stocks, all right? They just got beat on the back. They're in a dungeon with barely any air coming in, and yet they're singing praises to God, and the Bible says they sang praises to God so much so that the Bible uses the word that it made it sound like a recital to them, like it was that beautiful to the prisoners that they're hearing somebody sing when they're in chains. And then this man comes along and says, I heard you. What must I do to have what you have? I want that." And perhaps, you know, as you continue to serve God as a soldier, it may be that people see you, and they see you with that uniform on, and they see you serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they see you going through those difficult things, and they say, "I don't know how you can be so cheerful. I don't know how you can love God in the midst of all that. Look what God has done to you." And I don't understand that, but I just want your joy. I want that. And so as you serve, you can serve God with, I don't want this. And people are listening to you. Your children are listening to you. But if you serve God with joy and excitement, the people say, "I want that." And you can begin to tell even more people about Jesus Christ. Garibaldi, the great Italian reformer, he had a great fiery speech. One time a young fellow approached him and asked, "Sir, if I fight, what will be my reward?" Well, Garibaldi said, "Wounds, scars, perhaps even death. But remember that through your bruises, Italy will be free." "Then," said the young man, "I will follow to the death." What dedication. And more along the lines of serving our Savior. Anyone ever heard of Dr. Alexander Duff? He lived in 1806 to 1878. He served in India as a missionary for 25 years. He preached the gospel, established schools, and he addressed the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. Hopefully at that point it was still good, all right? But his body was broken, it was bruised from all that time of serving the Lord on the mission field. And so he spoke for a long time at this whole assembly of all these people, and he became exhausted, and he finally fainted in front of everybody. And so they carried him out the hall into another room, and they attended him for some time, and he began to recover. When he realized where he was, he roused himself and said, "I did not finish my speech. Carry me back and let me finish it." They said, No, if you do that, you're going to die. So finally they took him back to the hall. And many people on that occasion said it was one of the most incredible scenes they ever witnessed. They brought him, this white-haired man, into the assembly hall, and he appeared at the door. Each person sprang to their feet. The tears flowed as they looked at this old, grand veteran of the Lord. And this is what he says when he got back up to speak. "Fathers and mothers of Scotland, is it true that you have no more sons to send to India to work for the Lord Jesus Christ? The call for help is growing louder and louder, but there are few coming forward to answer it. You have the money put away in the bank, but where are the laborers who shall go into the field? When our earthly king wants men to volunteer for his army in India, you freely give your sons. You do not talk about them losing their health and about the trying climate, but when the Lord Jesus is calling for laborers, Scotland is saying, we have no more sons to give." And so he turned to the president, and he said these words, "Mr. Moderator, if it is true that Scotland has no more sons to give to the service of the Lord Jesus, although I've lost my health and I've come home to die, if there are no one else who will go and tell those heathen of Christ, then I will be off tomorrow to let them know there is one old Scotman who is ready to die for them. I will go back to the shores of the Ganges and there lay down my life as a witness for the Son of God." Written by Dr. Bunstead. What dedication. Now, that kind of gets us fired up. That's an amazing testimony. And God is not calling you to stand in front of a big crowd and say, "If nobody else is going, I'm going to go." But that kind of dedication doesn't necessarily need to be in Mr. Duff. It can be in all of us. And it should, as soldiers of Jesus Christ, no matter what God may call us to do. David Livingston said this, "If a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever any tie, save the tie that binds me to thy heart. Lord Jesus, my King, I consecrate my life, Lord, to thee." A soldier of the cross, from 2 Timothy chapter 2, realizes the danger, removes himself from distractions, and rejoices in his duty. To please the Savior, to give the gospel, wherever that might be. I'm in conclusion give you a song by, as you know, from Isaac Watts. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried, I love this part, must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease? While others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas. Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this foul world a friend to grace to help me unto God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though they die. They see the triumph from afar by faith's discerning eye. Now, perhaps you're here on Wednesday and you say, "Wow, okay. Just relax, okay? I'm serving the Lord." Maybe it's just a reminder. Maybe it's just a reminder that tomorrow, 2 weeks from now, there's going to be a difficulty. There's going to be a hardship. you're a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The other reminder is this. Children of God, we cannot weave so deeply our relationship and our involvement in this world to where we're not ready at a moment's notice to do exactly what God wants us to do. Always be ready. Always be ready. Father, thank you for the many times that you forgive us when we just want everything to be easy. We want everything to be just cool, calm, collected. We want everything just to go and fall in the right place. Lord, you've not called us to be comfortable Christians. You've called us to be soldiers who are serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, I don't know if there's somebody here today that in the next day or next few weeks, not that we would be anxious about this, but maybe a hardship is coming. Maybe there's a word that might be spoken against them, or maybe there's something happening at work. Would you use this as an encouragement in their life to help them to remember that they are simply soldiers? They do what they're supposed to do. But the wonderful King that we serve, has blessing and rewards for us when we stay faithful. Help us not to be so entangled with this life that we're not ready at a moment's notice to do exactly what you call us to do. Lord, help us to remember that we can rejoice to please you. You're the one that chose us to be a soldier. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's really easy in a message like that to think a lot about, what if the Lord called me to the mission field, and think about the big things. And that's certainly appropriate for us. But you know what? Tomorrow morning, we're all going to wake up. And we're going to have a day of responsibilities before us. And for most of us, they're going to be kind of mundane, ordinary things. They're not going to be dramatic, they're just the normal routines of life. And yet we kind of think, well, Lord, if you called me to do this, I'd do it. If you called me to do this, I'd do it. And the Lord calls you to get up, read the scripture, witness to your neighbor, encourage brother. And, we get too entangled in the daily affairs of life to do those things that are so ordinary. And yet so much of the Christian life is living as a good soldier through all the ordinariness. And from a military standpoint, we spend lots and lots of time training and preparing for things. I can't tell you how many simulated torpedoes I have been involved in shooting, and how many simulated missiles I have been involved in shooting. I've even shot some exercise torpedoes, but I have never in my, many, many years in the military, never actually wielded a weapon in anger, in actual, and yet you're always focusing on that and preparing on that and doing the little things and the ordinary things well. And so my appeal to me and to you is not only that we would say, Lord, if you would call me to the mission field, I'd go. Lord, if you would call me to do this great thing by your grace, I want to do that, and we're motivated to do that. But also, Lord, in just the ordinary, everyday, regular matters of what it means to be a believer in Jesus, Lord, would you help me do those things with heart and with fervency and in dependence on you? And, God will use you to make great impact on people in not just the dramatic ways, but so often just in the ordinary, simple little affairs of being a Christian. And so I just appreciate the challenge. We're not going to have an invitation per